The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of the Nursing Notes Live podcast, I interview a father-son flight nurse team who care for the most critical of patients during air transport between hospitals. Join us as I talk with Tim and Adam Lenth about their work as flight nurses for Theta Star Air Ambulance Service for the Theta Care Regional Medical Center in Northeast Wisconsin. Here it is. Hi, Tim and Adam. It's great to have you both here on the show, and I want to welcome you to Nursing Notes Live. It's always great to have nurses, and in this occasion, two nurses who are related to each other, a father and son team of nurses, and we're going to be talking about flight nursing today, but I just wanted to welcome you, first of all, to joining us today.
Morning. Thank you. Us. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
So I guess we'll start with you, Tim. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to become a nurse.
My medical background started back in 1983 when I became a EMT, and I started a volunteer service down in my hometown of Platteville. And basically, I was out on calls, and we had a helicopter program out of Madison that would come in and take care of our patients. And I always thought that I needed to do something more for my patients than a basic EMT, and I wanted to do the flight nursing. So I went to nursing school while I was an EMT, and I became a nurse. So I came up to the valley, to the Fox Valley, and started at Theta Clark, and knew that they had a helicopter program, so that's why I came here. And I worked at the UW for a little bit, but mainly came up to the valley to work. And then I worked in the emergency department for almost 4 years, and then got on the helicopter. And that's what I've been doing since, so it's been about 24 years ago.
Well, that's a long time. You hear about nurses a lot of times moving around quite a bit, but you found the niche for you right off the bat.
Correct. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's a great job. Flight nursing is, you know, it's one of those things that very few people get to do. And for now, Adam to be joining me on the team, it's really very, very neat.
So, Adam, tell us a little bit about what spurred you to go in this direction. I mean, was it just following in your father's footsteps, or did you really have a desire and a drive to get into the healthcare field as well?
Well, actually, like when I was in high school, I always grew up, he was always doing medical things, doing, you know, working for Theta Star as a flight nurse. And I always thought that was a really cool job. I never really thought that would be anything that I would ever do. I just thought it would be way too complex of a job, and I'm like, well, I was going to do like maybe an electrician or be a police officer. But then by the time I graduated high school, I started working in the ER as a cleaner, just to, you know, right out of high school, just a job in the meantime while I was thinking about what I was going to do for college. And then while working in the ER, being exposed to everything that was going on, that actually was really neat and something that I probably could do. So I got my CNA and then an emergency room technician, and even furthered my drive to want to get into healthcare. And then went to nursing school, and you know, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to do the flight nursing thing, like my dad had done, and I always thought that was really neat and something very special within the nursing field that would be right up my alley. So went to nursing school, and I started working in an emergency room as a nurse. About 8 years in doing the ER nursing, and their position opened up with Theta Star, and I applied and got in. So,
Excellent. And I really like to hear about more about flight nursing from both of your perspectives. So, you know, if I ask one of you a question, feel free to jump in and share your thoughts as well when they're done. I guess going back to you, Tim, what are some of the things that make a good flight nurse compared to, say, a nurse on a telemetry floor or some other part of the hospital?
I think a lot of nurses, from what I see, are kind of a type A personality to a point. But for flight nursing, you need to have the type A personality is like a must. And you also have to have the ability to have thick skin and be able to make a decision, stick with a decision, and own up to whatever that decision is. I guess that's the biggest thing, and to be able to react quickly and, you know, hopefully make the right decision each time that you do something. I think that's the biggest difference between like a ER nurse, where you have all the people around you to help you, and when you're flight nursing, there's two of you. Same in the ICU. The ICU, you know, you do a lot of evaluations of your patients, and your assessments are, you know, spot on. But at the end of the day, the physician makes a decision on what course to take. And in the field, when we're out there, we actually get to make that decision on what course we're going to take with the patient's care. The physician's always available if we need them on the radio or if we need to make a phone call to them, if you know, we get something that we're not familiar with or we have a question about. But for most part, we just get to follow our protocols and take care of the patient. So it's very autonomous for us to be out in the field doing what we do.
Tim, anything to add to, or Adam, anything to add to that?
Oh, that pretty much summed it up. I mean, yeah, just the total autonomy that you have with it is completely different than, like, say, ER nursing. Yeah, you still have protocols that we follow. They're still written by physicians. But a lot of those decisions, even though you have protocols, you still, like a hospital setting, you're still going to run that by the doctor and say, you know, is this something that you think we should do? Or, you know, like, a feeling that we should be doing this, and the doctors are ultimately the one that are going to say, yeah, but you're making that call to, you know, maybe give somebody the medications to put them to sleep and put a breathing tube in them, you know, where the doctor would have done that. So, yeah, it's, that part of it is different.
So I'm curious, Adam, what are your thoughts about the type of calls you get? I mean, routine runs, do you do mostly interfacility transports? Do you pick up trauma patients? Is it a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. The interfacility is a little bit more than our scene work, just numbers-wise. But the interfacility, I mean, that can range from traumas to, you know, sick ICU transfers, you know, heart attacks we do, strokes we do, you know, people with sepsis, transfer them, you know, ventilator management, things like that, you know, give them pressors and other medications to maintain blood pressures. So a lot of it's about time. You know, a lot of these rural areas, people have heart attacks and, you know, they go to the hospital and the closest cath lab by grounds an hour plus away from them, where we can be to them within 13, 15 minutes and get them there with, you know, cut the time in half, basically, you know, so they get the definitive care they need.
Tim?
Yeah, scene work, you know, that's...
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Tim, I'm curious, what do you see as the way you're able to translate? You know, this is similar to paramedic work. I was a paramedic before I became a nurse, too. And I understand the EMS background of things. But how do you bring that nursing care model to this type of emergency transport?
It really isn't per se a nursing care model to follow. It is more of a field process, because, like I said before, with the ER nurse or an ICU nurse, you're not trained at all to do the types of things that we do. And that's why our process, when we bring somebody on board, You're talking 3 to 6 months of working directly with that person to get them up to speed, so to speak, to be able to make those decisions on the fly and to have that that thinking process going on. Because like you said, it is more like a paramedic in that process, because you don't have all the other influences there making decisions for you and you're just following orders. This is a process where you have to assess a patient, evaluate the best of the protocols that you have, and apply those to the patient, and then all at the same time transport them. So you're packaging them up and you're doing all of your work pretty much at the same time. So it is completely different than floor nursing.
Do you see, Tim, do you see a way for nurses to take some of the skills they've learned and translate them to this type of work if they want to get into flight nursing, for instance?
Well, definitely. Your background as far as your skill sets, your assessment ability, and your ability to, to foresee what could go on with the patient, that's what you're really looking for in a person that's going to be doing the flight nursing or any kind of nursing, actually. If I were to have a nurse, I would want someone that could say, okay, you're showing these symptoms, that's going to lead to this, or it could lead to this, instead of, well, let's see what happens. That kind of thinking, if you just wait and see what happens, is what will get you in trouble. So you need to preempt that with, some kind of care, or like with somebody that's having respiratory difficulty. If you wait long enough, they will quit breathing. But in our line of work, we're going to recognize that, and we're going to either do a CPAP, BiPAP, or regular intubation for that patient before they get to the point where they're not breathing anymore. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. Absolutely. And that's great. I'm curious, Adam, as well, what do you see as opportunities for the future? I mean, if you were to look 5 years down the road, is there some sort of changes on the horizon or new technologies or new skills and things you think are going to be things that you're going to see in the back of this helicopter transport?
Right now, our helicopter is pretty advanced with what we have. I mean, we've got the ventilators. We got 2 ventilators that we carry. The oxygen, we're a cardiac monitor. We can pretty much do anything that you can do in an emergency room or ICU. Further on down the road, it's going to depend on kind of what the medical care, how that changes 5 years down the road. And, we'll adapt and be ready.
Anything to add to that, Tim?
I don't want to sound like it's, things don't change much, because things have changed a lot. But in the next 5 years, there are so many things that have stayed the same for 20 years that I do trauma care. I mean, you get different ways of doing things, and, now a lot of it's going on getting the blood. But as far as your assessment is your biggest tool that you have in your toolbox. And if you can do a good assessment and try to think of what's going to happen with this patient down the road, that is your best tool. And so I don't see that part of it changing too much. But like Adam said, with the new equipment that's coming out, we'll be able to possibly, do a little bit more in the aircraft. When I started, we had a blood pressure machine that hung on the wall, and that's all it did was just blood pressures. And now they kind of put things together. So eventually, maybe, down the road, they'll have a monitor that has a ventilator attached to it. Who knows? It's one of those things that everything's small in the helicopter and lightweight, so it might happen.
Yeah, I definitely see in the ambulance side of things that there's the ground ambulance transports. We're seeing things like ultrasounds and other assessment tools that could be useful in the pre-hospital setting for helicopter transport as well, if the devices can get small enough and compact enough to be carried efficiently.
Right. Yeah, we have a big problem with weight. Once, everything goes on the helicopter has to be weighed, and we can only carry so much weight each flight. And so even the flight nurses, their weight will determine how big a patient we can carry. So if you get a heavier crew, the weight of your patient has to be less So it's that finite with the amount of weight that you can actually carry. So.
Now, Adam, have you ever ridden on a call or a flight with your dad, and what was that like?
Yeah, multiple times. We've flown together, and my first scene flight was actually with him, and it was a great experience. You know, very proud moment for me just to be with my dad.
Excellent. We're getting down to the final question here, and just want to ask you both to think about that moment or that piece of advice you got in nursing school that you've carried with you into your career here as a flight nurse. And go. I think we'll start ahead with you, Tim, and let Adam go last.
Okay. My biggest thing that I learned in nursing school that I carry to this day is assessment. A piece of equipment will not do as good of an assessment as you will. So never trust a monitor and never trust a piece of equipment as much as you do your own assessment.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I got that advice long ago when I first became an EMT, is treat the patient, not the monitor, and really trust your eyes and your gut instincts. And it served me well to this day. So I completely agree. How about you, Adam?
Biggest thing is, you know, the education part of it. Just never stop learning. Continue to, you know, advance your skill set, the toolbox that you carry, you know, with you. Don't, you know, complacency. You know, you think you know everything and you've seen everything. Nothing can shock you, and you know, you just can't get like that. You know, something's gonna burn you somewhere down the road. So, the better you can prepare yourself, either through, you know, educational courses or things like that, you know, it'll mitigate, hopefully, future problems. But just complacency, I guess, is the biggest issue.
Stay tuned for our next Nursing Notes Live episode, where I talk with several people involved with the Johnson & Johnson School Health Leadership Program. Joining me were School Health Leadership Program fellows Tracy Perrin and Tammy Jakubowski. Also on the episode were former fellow Sheila Caldwell and program coordinator Danielle Cooper. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.